Hey, this is great. I'm glad you found us.
Welcome to the conversation. This is the Wags
and Fresh Podcast.
Well, the loveliest thing that I ever did see was a young man dreaming of what he could be.
This episode of the Wags and Fresh Podcast is brought to you by Fresh Start Chiropractic, located at 6 Shore Road in Linwood, New Jersey, or you can visit us on the web at drfreshnewjersey.com. That's drfreshnj.com. Also, please check out our website at wagsandfresh.com, where you can see all the updated info about the podcast, as well as information about the books that John has written, some videos he's done as well, soon to have some merchandise there as well. So enjoy.
So I wanted to just make a quick note that in this episode, we don't really talk about any of the current situation that's going on in the world. We actually did record an episode a couple days ago with regards to all that. It was actually about an hour-long episode with just John and I discussing all the things related to the protests and police brutality, George Floyd riots, and unfortunately that audio did not really come through correctly. Tried to fix it, but there was just no way to fix that audio. So unfortunately we don't have anything right now recorded related to that, although we did do something on it. So this episode is just sort of after we had discussed all those things and wanted to do something a little less focused on that. But perhaps we will do something again in the future and try to maybe not recreate that episode, but put something else out there with different perspectives on everything going on. So enjoy. Talk soon.
When I think of making things a game, I think of fun. And the more ways you can go through things as a game, the more enjoyable whatever you're going through can be. I never saw the movie Life is Beautiful. But I'm trying to think of the most horrific situation where I believe was the movie was about trying to have his son experience a horrible experience in a way that could have life and fun and joy, even in the worst circumstances. Are you familiar with the movie at all or anything?
Like yeah, that? It's an Italian movie about the I can't think of his name, but he's an Italian guy.
Roberto Benigni or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, correct. And he was life during World War II, right? During all
I
of
believe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't really remember. I did watch it once, but it's been so long. I don't remember if there was if they were a Jewish family or if they were an Italian family or a Jewish Italian family. I really don't know what that was as far as the backdrop, as the specifics. But I mean, we can obviously get the context of what it must be like. With all the things that we've learned about the history of World War II, how horrific that must have been, and how he took it upon himself.
And then multiply that by
another. Right, right. And then he took it upon himself to figure out how to, you know, make life as beautiful as possible in a world that did not look like there was any beauty at all. So, and that's applicable in all walks of life all the time. Obviously it's not as maybe heavy as World War II and the backdrop of the Nazis and, you know, Holocaust and all that kind of stuff. But
it lets you know it's possible.
Right. Because it gives you that motivation, if nothing else, to say if somebody could try to make light of how life is beautiful in the worst scenario, then what am I complaining about in the scale of 1 to 10 and 10 being the worst? And okay, right now it's a 5 or an 8 or a 3 or whatever that would be in that scale of horrific.
And most of us on most days are a 2 or a 1, right? Right? I mean, we make them 5.
Yeah,
there's some real stuff.
We turn them up into, that person didn't call me back and that's just horrible and that's disrespectful. And it's like, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. It didn't even hit the meter, but we turned it into something because of that. And, and the fact that things don't automatically go our way, we make them into bigger things. And I'm not saying that we.
And in mind.
Go ahead.
Good. Oh, no. I was going to say my intention wasn't to dive in so deep because I have such a. I mean, I think we're like, we, I when I brought this up, I think we each have something on different levels that are relevant. You know, mine was thinking about, you know, the game you played going through what you're going through. And, you know, mine was finding a fun way to have fun with my daughter yesterday when we were starting, you know, to get frustrated with each other over homework.
Sure.
And just how it's just so much easier when you make things fun.
Right.
You know, like anger never makes anything fun. Frustration never makes anything fun.
Sure.
And, you know, but if you can, you know, get out of your own way for a second and, you know, turn it into fun. So what we did yesterday was we gave each other's remote control. So I turned it into a Nintendo Switch game doing homework. And so we start to do the homework and we're controlling each other's player. And I gave buttons to changes that they wanted us, that we wanted to see in each other. So A was slow down. I just two simple buttons. A was slow down and B was you're getting frustrated, angry, or annoying me. So we were just going along and we helped monitor each other's level towards each other. And we were respectful enough towards each other because that's needed to happen to actually respect each other, pushing the button to lower that category. And turned doing homework into a game, and something where we couldn't do one problem in 2 hours with fighting turned into 2 pages into laughter and an amazing day.
Yeah. And I think that it's,
and that may not work tomorrow.
Right. It's funny that you brought this specific topic up today because you and I had a nice long conversation yesterday and I talked about some of my recognition that maybe the frustration that I get from conversations, both with my kids as well as with other people, is that I don't really clearly articulate my personal position, even though I might articulate a point of view for the conversation. Right? I'll articulate a point of view for you and I to have a conversation. But I won't necessarily identify whether I personally believe in that point of view or not. So obviously the assumption has to be that I believe in that point of view because I am saying those things and not clearly articulating that I may or may not have that personally have that point of view. And I was trying to kind of hash that out with my kids, understanding that I do that with them as well. And, you know, and I find that, you know, not that I'm sure there is a way to do it with a group, but I think that what you're talking about, at least in the scenario that you're talking about, it probably is like just with our conversation yesterday and your conversation and game with Mackenzie yesterday was easier than trying to turn a game into that I can figure out how I can appease 5 other people's needs in that moment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I would need. Well, how do you want to play the game? And then how do you want to play the game? And how do you want to play the game? And you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying there isn't a way. If I put it under the umbrella of, okay, we're going to play a game. Let's create the agreed upon rules by which we all play. I'm sure there is a way to do that.
Well, I was just thinking, tell your own ending. You know, those stories where you start with a comment,
right,
and maybe invite them to tell their ending. And then you tell two endings, you know, the one of your, right, contrarian and the one of your feelings maybe. And, you know, just say, sure, you know, or whatever, you know, they're who knows? And maybe it's an individual thing. And maybe, you know, a lot of times life presents that opportunity. I didn't go in there, sure, with the game plan. I just went, sure, in there knowing that, you know, we had an objective and what we were doing is never going to work. So try anything else other than anger or frustration, sure, or, you know, whatever. So,
well, it's funny, too, because I felt like the only, they left me with nothing else but anger at the end of the day. Like,
right, right,
they, yeah, because they weren't willing to try to engage in a dialogue in a, coming from a different point of view. It was more like they still were working out whatever their frustration was.
Well, yeah, let me flip that on you, though. So your game, really, it's your game, right? So
yep,
your game is to make it more fun. You know, I always think if I could give my message like somebody's favorite song, they'd know every word, or, you know,
right,
they'd listen to it 1,000 times. So, you know, that's the fun of the game. You know, the game is Finding a way that's more fun, being adaptable to, like, what do a lot of famous podcasts do? They bring on the person who's talking about a topic that everybody's talking about. How do you bring their world into your game and, you know, have fun doing it? How do you, as in the game, how do you enjoy the game and not get frustrated, you know, when a player takes your turn or moves an extra space or, you know, whatever people do when somebody does something in a game?
Well, the other thing I found too, is that there's, because different people in my scenario have different levels of, and I'm not saying this is a smarter or not smarter analysis. It's more about what is their depth of knowledge about a specific topic. Right. Mm-hmm. And how deep could they go into the conversation that is nuanced, that's probably creating the frustration? Is it just surface, or in the case of maybe like I'm trying to do this with Kieran, it's, you know, he's oblivious. He's like, he doesn't, you know, not to dive too deep into everything going on in the world, but he doesn't even know that there's in any real way. I'm sure he knows there are protests and riots and things that are happening in the world, but I don't think he has any real level of depth on what it's really all about. What's the subtext, you know, what's the story being told.
It's funny, because I was thinking of almost games like when we were little. It's almost like he's playing peekaboo. Where's Kieran? There he is.
Whereas if you on the other end of the spectrum, I've got Cameron and Jesse, who are more in tune to, you know, the information that they're gathering and then, you know, creating their perspective, and which is way different from as far as the where they're getting their information than where I'm getting my information, right? So, and again, because I may actually ideologically agree with some of their points, but they also miss the mark from my perspective on maybe the bigger picture or other points of view that are part of the conversation. And so when I get into those, then you can see the frustration start to mount. And
for you, and again, or just in the conversation?
Well, it starts with them, because they get frustrated that they feel like, I might purposely be doing this to be, hey, have you thought of this? Well, are you thinking about this point of view? But I'm not clearly articulating that I may or may not actually agree with that point of view. I'm just trying to make them think of, hey, here's another point of view. Have you thought about it this way? And so, of course, they're getting frustrated with me because I didn't articulate that one way or the other. Not that I feel like, quite honestly, in the reality of a dynamic of a conversation that's meant to be a productive dialogue, I don't really necessarily know if I need to, but it does, because they're still going to get frustrated whether they know I believe in that point or not, because they're going to get frustrated with the point itself, right? You know, I was in a conversation with Jesse the other day, and I said, if I was on this side, this is how I would make this argument. And I said, and I think they're missing the opportunity to make the argument this way. And then I turned around and said, but once they make that argument, I would also be on the other side of it and then counter them this way. Right. And like that drives them crazy, because I can actually do both things.
Yeah. But for me, that's conversation progression. Why wait till you're in a conversation with somebody else to know that you need to make sure your points are stronger or your facts are better? And, why not be able to, you know, progress their understanding that you've thought about their point of view, or you spend time there and maybe they could teach you something. But
I think that's,
you know, it's different.
The hardest part right now is that there's just a level of, emotional connection to specific points of view that, there's no way to discuss reason. You know what I'm saying? Like there are times when whatever you're feeling, you can't actually discuss things in a reasonable way because people are so emotional.
Well, how about mirroring? Like have you ever just done it with a topic that has no emotional connection to it? You know, like almost like you know, what would you do different in that song, or, you know, or you know, something that's, you know, not my opinion based. You know what I mean? Like, have you laid the groundwork to have a relationship, yeah, to have that dialogue without having it be level four dialogue? You know, even though,
yeah, I will say that is another, you know, I would say that there can be moments, but those are more like
on a bag of chips. You know what I mean? Like, you can just say whatever, you know, what aren't they telling us about these chips? What are they telling us?
I'll give you a good example of, well, so unfortunately I'm pretty wired to go from zero to level four pretty quick, you know, yeah. Like, I don't really talk about level one shit. I don't care about the weather. You know, like, I don't, that's just not how I'm wired. Maybe I can stay in level two and level three, but I go pretty quick to that other level just because that's how I'm wired. And then, so I have to kind of, to your point, like, try to say, okay, how do I stay at level two or three before I jump right to four, and how long can I stay there? But the other thing too is that I don't really I'll pound a topic so much so philosophically that, like, if something comes up in this in that I can say and point out that, hey, there's another example of how you know the observer, the observer has an influence on the outcome of reality, you know, in this sort of, you know, debate of how does the observer create reality, i.e. Heisenberg uncertainty principle, you know, Schrodinger's cat, and all this kind of quantum mechanics type of conversation, you know, because we've had years and years of open dialogue as a family about, you know, and obviously the counter to, if the observer has control over the reality, why would a 10-year-old kid have cancer? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that always tends to be the comeback, is why would you create your reality to be so miserable if the observer creates their own reality? And I will say, as I learned, you know, more and more about this, the, you know, this particular, these different topics, I've had to change the way that I saw it from a, you don't create your own reality, but you can have influence on your reality. You know, I'm in my room right by myself right now. And so I can completely control my reality right now. I can do anything I want because there's nobody else in here to influence my reality other than me. Mm-hmm. Right. But the minute I go outside and start to interact with the world, there have been decisions that have been made, as well as, will be made along the way during the day, that will incorporate other people's influences on reality. So it becomes a collective combination of what reality we all agree upon that is real, right? This is the way I talk to them. And so they get tired at sometimes of me, like, it's almost like they roll their eyes like, oh, okay, you know, here he comes with this, you know, but because that's the way I talk to them about these bigger ideas about, like, what is life? What is real?
I think a lot of times, you know, we all focus on the instant response. You know, like recently I've been thinking about Rock and Ripple a lot. What I'm telling people is, yeah, everybody watches the rock go in the water, but nobody is focused on the ripples. You know, like, nobody is focused on, you know, that good habits have a ripple into your future, and that bad habits have a ripple into your future. And thoughts and everything. And so, you know, this rock and ripple thing. So we're looking at the splash of the rock. But I think when people talk about their parents or grandparents and say something endearing, and, you know, like, I think some of the most, you know, precious things people say is, my grandmother used to say, my grandfather used to say. But at that time and at that age, we may have been rolling our eyes, you know, because for whatever reason. But in the end, there's value. And I think our only job is to throw the rock, you know, you know, and they determine what they want to do with the ripples. They may put a big boat in the ripples and not even feel them. They may be floating and feel every bit of it at different stages of life. They may be in a boat and have to jump out and not feel the ripples until they're in the water. You know, we don't know. So, you know, as long as you throw the rock with love and maybe take the attention off and, you know, what you talked about just now is realizing, you know, you control what you can, but I think we need a greater trust in what we can't control. Because if you're going to think that you're going to say it and you're going to be there for the moment that the light bulb goes off, and you're going to be there for the moment that they say my life is completely different, if you're going to be there for the moment that they make decisions in their head that are based somewhat off that rock, or a decision in their future with their child that's based off that rock, or a comment that they say to their child that's from that rock, or their grandchild, or who knows how far it goes on, you're not going to be there for all that. And you got to trust, you got to trust that. You got to trust it's going to be in there.
And I definitely subscribe to that. As far as, you know, understanding, getting as a person who tries to impact people personally and professionally in a way that I know that I'm not, and I had to learn this, this came over time and, you know, with maturity that, you know, because when I was younger, I was the rock and wanted to see the, where does the ripple land? What shore does it you know, turn into a wave? You know, I want to see all that.
Capsize.
And then
boat.
I realized.
Move the boat. Yeah. Change the direction of the boat. Yeah.
Right. So, but as I got older, I realized and had more and more experiences that the probability of me ever seeing where that ripple, you know, what does it run into? What does it become? Is pretty, you know, unlikely that I ever see those things. I mean, now people could later on give me a call or reach out to me and say, hey, I just want to let you know that this thing helped me do this, that, and the other thing. And even if they don't, I might see it, you know, from afar anyway. Right. So, but I had to learn that over time. And that's definitely a skill that I had to acquire.
Look what the Grand Canyon required. Time.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, think about, like, you know, we go out in the ocean all the time and, you know, those waves we surf are where did they start? How long ago did that momentum begin before we got to get on that wave? You know, ultimately we get to see the culmination of that momentum, but we have no idea in many cases where that even started. It's interesting to be, you know, to think about the ripple effect. But I think to your point about, you know, turning these things into games is that it's trying to create a structure and a way that the conversation and the active, you know, improvement of a relationship or just the ability to be productive or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve with this game context is allowing you to be able to progress your, I guess, ripple to some degree, you know, down the road, right? Because sometimes those types of things become really like how, because you don't know what they're going to remember about you. You know what I mean? Or what, as a parent or, you know, whatever relationship. And, you know, and sometimes those days, like you're talking about, could be very impactful to them in a way you don't realize. And other times you think that there are things that you were like, I had this amazing experience with my kid and there's no way they're ever going to never forget. They're always going to remember this moment. And then 10 years later, they're like, I don't know what the hell you're
like,
talking about.
Wasn't that so much fun today? They're like, when? Yeah. Right, you know, the part where we had fun.
When was that? When did I have fun? What are you just talking about? I didn't have any fun today.
And you know, I think at the foundation of it all, I think it's that, you know, it's just sometimes so simple on paper. It's just the relationship. You know, if you're putting the relationship before the rock, if you're putting, you know, them before the rock, you know, the rock has to come after those things. You know, because it's very hard to put the rock, you know, the rock is, I guess the rock changes. I guess the rock is a very selfish rock that's disruptive, like a wave in the face before you have the relationship part, before you really want it to value the other person over you just being able to say what you feel is important. You know, once you shift that, all of a sudden, that takes time for everything to align so the rock can turn into a wave that you can ride. You know, you have to position things before you drop the rock.
And it's interesting to, you know, obviously we have kids at different age groups, and I have kids that are 8 years apart. So, you know, as far as like the total scope of, you know, from Caitlin to Chloe and how they're all different within that, right? You know, most of them at this point will only really want to have discussions as adults, like in that context, in that framework. Doesn't mean you can't be silly and have games and things like that, but it's still adult driven, right? It's still more it's more like talking to a friend, or you know, as far as content, and you know, it creates different challenges and then also different techniques. Whether this is the right technique or not, I'm not saying that, because right now I'm finding that, because, well, probably for a variety of reasons, including just everyone's on top of each other for so many weeks and weeks and weeks that we're all just sort of sick of one another, that the technique that I'm using at the moment is I'm just not, I'm not, if they talk, if we talk, we talk, but I'm not trying to engage, because the engaging is currently creating a level of frustration on their part that becomes very reactive and unconsciously aggressive, right?
Right,
And
yeah.
but I'm also recognizing that they might not have that intent, but they're also just frustrated with whatever they're frustrated with, and that's what's coming out. You know, the ripple to me is that, even though the intent isn't, I'm not really the target, right? They might be
Right.
frustrated with some news story they heard or whatever,
Well, I
and
mean, that's
I'm
how
the
our
target.
game started the other day was, you know,
How is it?
it started from a frustration of trying to do homework and Mackenzie asking me to give her some space. And when she came back without even asking her, she had done a couple of other things that she knew how to do and, you know, left the math that we were struggling with. And so I went out and cut the lawn and did some things. And, you know, and who knows? Because sometimes I was even thinking of, you know, as I was thinking of different childhood games, and I was, when you were talking about Kieran, I was thinking, you know, sometimes it's, you know, the biggest game, as Simon says. And maybe just me going out there and working and giving her space, you know, made her, you know, want to work on something, or maybe, she, there was some level of understanding that, you know, that she doesn't want to be frustrated and
Right.
things like that. And it's just interesting. And I'm sure with, you know, with the kids and, you know, with Jesse and everything and with Jen, you know, it's all different. Like, you know, part of Mackenzie's anger and frustration is more a part of who I am. So we get to work on that together. So
Sure.
that game was helpful for both of us because we were controlling a part of our player that we didn't like, but we were letting the other person do it because we both know we don't like it.
Right,
So
right.
that, whereas Jen, you know, just gets pounded on by two mean players, you know, and
Right,
well,
right.
you know, so for
Sure.
her, it's you know, that's not the game that she's playing because she doesn't have. I'm just going to use the I was going to use the word torture, but that's not right. She hasn't had to live with that part of herself that she doesn't like for so long,
Sure.
to make it, you know, to whatever, to have the feeling that it does inside of you of a habit you've tried to break for your life. Of, you know, having
Sure.
a, you know, and
Sure.
so, you know, that's our game. But to be able to do that together, I hope it continues.
Well, you know, ultimately what we're really talking about, and you're just putting in this framework, is, you know, you got to keep working at it. You know, you just got
Yeah.
to, whatever, whether in a relationship with your kid, a relationship with your friends and family, and all of that. I mean, you know, with society, with other people, whatever it is, you just have to keep putting the work in. And I think so much of the time, you know, especially as you get older, you get to a place where it's like, this is my world, and I'm done working at it. You know, these are the relationships I'm going to have, and this is the framework that those relationships are going to be in, and this is who I am, and you all have to deal with me because this is who I am, and this is just the way the world's going to be till I'm not in this world anymore. And I think that really, what I'm kind of taking away from this is that, again, it's one of those lessons in conversation that is, you just have to continue to work at it, recognizing that you can make that choice to go down to live your life the scenario that I just laid out, or you can live your life saying that, hey, I gotta continue to work at making sure that, you know, we've heard all the different story, you know, sowing the land to get what you need for the long, you know, mm-hmm. so you can reap what you sow, and you know, all that kind of stuff. It exists, and those sayings exist because it's not just true when you're young, so you can reap what you sow when you're older. It's that you have to continue to work at it until you can't work at it anymore, which is basically when you're not here anymore. So that's at least what I'm taking away from it.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, replay, new game, and the game doesn't end until you turn the power off, you know, and
right.
So, and that's, you know, the that never has to stop.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man, it was great catching up, and I'm going on a long bike ride today, so it's going to be nice, hot, and humid. I'm sure I'm going to sweat my,
good.
Sweat my
good.
Ass off today. All right, man. All right,
talk to you later.
See you, bye.
Keep the conversation going.
Hit play.